There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Tua Tagovailoa walking off the field. We know that he had the issues with his lower legs from a year ago, and it looked like that right ankle may have gotten rolled up. Not a good sign.
And that's where we'll start college football live. Joey Galloway, David Pollack, Peter Burns. Gentlemen, week 8 is in the books, and everyone's talking about that injury. Alabama QB Tua Tagovailoa struggles in that game. Ankle injury against Tennessee. So, Coach Saban, how did the surgery go?
You know, the surgery was successful. There's no real timetable, you know, for his return, but the expectation is he will be non-weight bearing for several days, and then he'll be able to come back as his rehab allows him. So we're hopeful that, you know, in a 10-day period, he'll be, you know, back being able to do pretty active type rehab, and we'll see how it goes from there. But these things are pretty unpredictable at this point.
Well, it's predictable that Tua misses time, right? He's never missed a game as a starter, but he has had to leave 4 games due to injuries, including the SEC championship game where he left in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury. Tua did have a month off to get ready for the playoffs and played in both of those playoff games for the Tide. Now time for a little F-bomb with Paul Feinbaum.
We'll talk about some drama. We have that now. A yarner of a college football season has gotten very interesting, and it's all about Tua once again. Can he be ready for the LSU game? Yes. Will he be 100%? Nobody has any idea. And there's even another question that is yet to be determined. Should he play? He's going to be the number one pick in the draft, assuming he is healthy. But what happens if he gets hurt even worse? This is a family consideration, and I don't think any of us know what Tua's family is thinking, because there's no way we know what his condition is going to be in 18 or 19 days. It is certainly the most dramatic moment of the college football season. All eyes on Tua and his ankle, and nothing more than the college football playoff berth and perhaps the national championship hang in the balance.
All right, David, so let's start with you. Confidence or concern about Tua's ankle injury for both Tua and the Tide?
Well, I think it's concern, because when you look at Tua, this is starting to mount up and you're starting to see a lot of injuries. And let's be honest, this is a offensive team now. And when you watch Alabama, they're not what they've been in the past on defense, and they're super young in the defensive front 7. But he's the guy who stirs this thing with those 3 wide receivers out wide. And it's just going to be interesting now, Joey. I have seen Joey Galloway, for example, as a really good wide receiver. When you don't play with good quarterback play, Joey, those receivers don't look so good. So to me, the most interesting thing about this will be all the weaponry that we talk about for Alabama. How are they used? Are they effective still without Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, definitely concern here. And this is the concern for everyone in the country. This is the first team that the transfer portal is sneaking up on, because everybody has one quarterback now. We don't know who the second quarterback is on any of these top teams, because everyone leaves. And so if you remember last year, Tua goes out and they had Jalen Hurts step right into the SEC championship game, and they end up winning the game. So now Alabama's that team that's stepping out and Tua goes out. Who's next? And so every single team in that top 10, when that number one guy goes down, it is going to be interesting who comes in the game. Definitely concern for Alabama. I believe Tua will be back for LSU, but how healthy will he be?
You know, it's crazy, by the way. You know, it's crazy is I hear you about all these top 10 teams, but Florida's already done this. Kyle Trask steps right in, plays out of his mind. So we're going to see what Alabama does and how they respond. Florida's answered that question pretty well.
Well, yeah, we'll see if Mac Jones does that. He might be able to do that against Arkansas team, who's lost 15 straight. By the way, 10 of the 14 teams in the SEC have had an injury to their starting quarterback. Kind of crazy. All right, this guy hasn't been injured, but it's Trevor Lawrence. He threw 4 interceptions last year, Joey. Now he already has 8. Concern or confident that Trevor will be back?
Definite concern. I sort of, when the first four happened, I was thinking, he's just trying to do too much. He'll settle in after the bye week. He'll be fine. And he's still doing it. And we're not talking about bad throws. We're talking about bad decision making, like really bad in the red zone, safety standing there. I mean, you have a seam going down the middle and the safety center just throws it right to him. This one picked off against Georgia Tech. Again, these are plays, and we sort of seen Sam Darnold do the same thing, where it was like a really good quarterback was trying to make plays that weren't there because he felt like his arm was so good. This is a normal scene with the dig coming behind it. So, of course, the dig is the read in this situation. Then you also have a check down, and nobody throws it to the seam. And in this situation, you can see the quarterback was like, I mean, the receiver was thinking, this ball is actually coming at me, but I'm not in the read. And then this one, again, in the red zone, there's three defenders back here, and he just throws one up. And so these aren't like bad throws that got away from him. These are like, I'm just going to throw it up there and see what happens. This one works out. And this is a problem. Now, it counts as a touchdown, but it's a problem. He throws this up. His receiver goes up and gets it, and it ends up being a touchdown. But you're taking chances with the football that you don't need to take. And so definitely concerned that Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked any different, and we're in the middle of the season.
When you got Higgins and Ross, it makes up for a lot out wide when you got 6'5" targets that you can just throw up jump balls to. But you're absolutely right. You need to be concerned because me where they're happening, Joe, you can't give points away. You have to understand when you get in that red zone or close to the red zone, like I got field goal in my pocket. Now I got to make sure I hit the check down and see if I can get a touchdown, see if I get another first down and get a shot at a touchdown. And so I think the decision-making process for Lawrence has been bad. But you know what? Deshaun Watson did this years ago and had a struggle early in the season. And Kirk brought this up a couple weeks ago on Game Day. I thought it was a phenomenal point. Was Deshaun Watson's numbers, and you look very similar to Trevor Lawrence, making, trying to do too much at the beginning of the season, but by the end of the season, got all the kinks ironed out. We thought Trevor had kind of nipped that bug after those first 3 weeks of that, but now you're starting to see still some decision-making. He's just got to iron it out. And I'm glad Dabo was chewing on him, by the way. Dabo got in his ear, got in his face, and was yelling at him, and you can't do that kind of stuff. I love seeing that from a coach, but it's definitely some concern from what you've seen from Lawrence so far.
I mean, it's almost like, guys, that we actually built Trevor Lawrence to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the game in 150 years right off the bat, and kind of looks a little bit normal right now. Nothing looks normal about Ohio State, guys, other than the fact that they have looked dominant right now. So, Davey, I'll start with you. Confidence that this is the Buckeye team that is going to roll, or concerned that they haven't really quote-unquote played anybody?
I get so sick and tired of the "we haven't played anybody" narrative when you're hitting people in the face with a frying pan. I don't care who you've played. They've played some competitive teams. They haven't played trash the whole season, but they just keep going gong right upside the head and putting people to sleep. So I don't have any concern. Will Wisconsin be the best defense they face? By a long shot. And I want to see Justin Fields make plays against that defense, but what the heck is there giving me concern about this Ohio State team? They look like a complete team, offense, defense, special teams, and it looks like Ryan Day has stepped in for Urban Meyer, and they haven't missed a beat, maybe even gotten better.
Yeah, not concerned in this week whatsoever. I believe that Ohio State will be better on offense, defense, and special teams than Wisconsin. Wisconsin surprised me last week in the way they played against Illinois. I think they will be fired up and ready to go for Ohio State. They won't play as bad as they did last week. But even at their best, they're not good enough to beat Ohio State. So there is no concern. I think the concern, if you're Ohio State, is you run this schedule and you get into the playoff. At that point, you might see a team that is by far better than anything you've seen in conference. But right now, not concerned at all.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we've seen him progress. And it, honestly, it was one of those situations where him going to Ohio State was just probably just a better fit for him. And Ryan Day has been unbelievable there. All right, we got a lot more coming up on College Football Live with the boys, including it's never too early to talk resumes, right? Which one-loss team is still right in the hunt for the College Football Playoff? We'll tell you coming up on College Football Live.
College Football Live is brought to you by Allstate, reminding you that football season is mayhem.
There's nothing like the whiteout.
Spectacular! Baylor. Jalen Hurts.
Virginia Tech has won in six overtimes.
I'm sure what they were trying to accomplish.
Tua heading to the locker room, but not a good sign.
Casey O'Brien, four-time cancer survivor.
This is what I dreamed about, and tonight it got to come true.
Penn State makes a stand. Texas walks it off. Good! Good!
I love it. Every week, it's crazy. All right, now let's take a look at this week's college football rankings brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. A couple of big changes in that top 10. Wisconsin, I don't see them. They fall out of the top 10 after losing to Lovie Smith's Illini. And after their beatdown to Northwestern Friday night, Buckeyes move up another spot. Now they're third in the country behind Bama and LSU. We move on. It's time to discuss the Capital One fan vote. All right, y'all, who you got? Who's the best one-loss team in the top 10 at the moment? With a resounding lead right now, Georgia voted the best, but Florida considerably behind. Of course, they're going to play in a couple weeks in Jacksonville. Go to twitter.com/SportsCenter to check out this week's Capital One fan vote. All right, I'll start with you, Joey. You get to have your own analyst vote here. Best one-loss team in the country is?
I'll go with Florida right now. I was actually impressed by what Florida is able to do to not just Auburn, but then go on the road to LSU the next week and back it up after losing a couple of their stars. A couple of the guys will be back. Zuniga, Grenard, they'll be back on the defensive end. When you talk about this Florida team, defensively is where they make their money, and watching what they were able to do to the Auburn offense, stop them completely from what we know them to do best, and that's go sideline to sideline. I think this Florida team with Trask stepping in at quarterback and the way he's played is definitely the best one-loss team.
Davey?
Well, and see, I don't, it has nothing to do with the defense. It has to me to do with the end with what you said, because I think there's plenty of good defenses out there, but to me, this offense takes a huge step forward with Trask, and you just see the playmakers. I mean, you see Pitts and you see Swain. You see all these guys starting to become more effective, and you see big plays. What are we missing from Georgia when you watch them? You're missing big, explosive plays down the field. Georgia is way more talented than Florida. There's no doubt about it. But Georgia's offense is not clicking like Florida's has. I think after the bye week, you'll see Florida's defense get a little bit more healthy. But the good news is, I think between both of us, it's probably Georgia and Florida. And I think we're going to find out, Joey, in about a week and a couple days. So we'll be good to go.
Exactly. Love this question because we'll find out soon.
Well, but I was surprised we didn't hear Notre Dame part in that conversation. And frankly, I was kind of surprised here, Davey, that we didn't hear Oregon being in the mix. Of course, after their victory against Washington. So we spin this forward. I see you shaking your head a little bit right now. What are the Pac-12's chances? You got Oregon and Utah that are starting to look good.
I buried the Pac-12 a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not getting my shovel to unbury and go back and resurrect them. I don't think there's really much that. Now, listen, what happened big time with Wisconsin losing is big. If Auburn can come up big and beat, well, say Georgia beats Florida and then Auburn beats Florida. Now you're taking another SEC team out of it. Shoot, the injury to Tua and Auburn or Alabama, you need a lot of craziness to happen for them to get in the college football playoff. But it was a big win for Oregon. Their defense, by the way, is we bragged about them going into the game, how much they've looked good. They struggled a lot in that ball game, but I know that Oregon and Utah are the two teams that could face down the road, and that question could be maybe it's a little bit more serious in the championship week.
Wow. So, Joey, you rolling with them? You're not going that way either?
I don't think that it's as crazy as David does for the Pac-12 to get there. I do think they need some help. Don't get me wrong. But I think that Georgia losing a couple weeks ago and then Wisconsin losing this past week opens the door for a couple more scenarios to happen. And so, you know, with a team sitting at 11 and a team sitting at 12, of course, they both had to root for each other to win the rest of their games and meet into the Pac-12 championship game, hopefully a top 10 teams by that point. And if they can pull that off, then all of a sudden there's your chances for one of these teams to get in. But they definitely need a little help.
Little chaos, you never know. I mean, obviously, nobody thought that Lovie Smith's Illini were going to beat Wisconsin and probably South Carolina's team beating Georgia, right? It just happened. I did like the beard. We'll talk about
Lovie a
little bit later. But that's not what everyone was talking about. Coaches were talking about officiating. Yes, believe it or not, if college football is being played here in this world, you're going to have people complain about it. And one of the things we had was Jim Harbaugh complaining about not one, not two, not three, but several different calls. Remember, Michigan flagged 8 times for 48 yards, but it was kind of when they got flagged, and it was a big deal. Jim Harbaugh talked about it on Monday, and hey, Coach Harbaugh, is that fair?
Sometimes it's not fair, and you learned a long time ago, the only fair is the county fair. So if you expect it, then you'll be disappointed sometimes.
Wolverine fans not the only people disappointed. Gamecock fans feeling the pain. Several timely calls went against South Carolina, their game against Florida, including an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Coach Will Muschamp. And, of course, he was not the happiest of campers. Post.
Do you know why you got the unsportsmanlike?
No, I don't. The guy ran 40 yards away and dropped a flag. I have no idea.
What is your...
I'd rather him drop it on my feet.
Did you say anything?
Yeah.
No, prior to the flag?
Yeah.
Something that you think warranted an unsportsmanlike?
It's not my judge. Drop it on my feet next time.
So clearly you were unhappy about the totality
I'm not going to comment about anything else. Don't go 40 yards away and drop a flag. How about that? Goes.
No, he didn't want to complain about it because you don't want to get fined. Well, Lane Kiffin, I guess, didn't care, right? Lane Kiffin, never too shy on Twitter, posted this in the wake of FAU's 36-31 loss to Marshall. And, yeah, the league wasn't happy about it either. Kiffin, $5,000. Still, he makes $1 million. He'll be all right. But, Joey, I mean, is that fair, this officiating? I mean, you know, should we be holding these officials' feet to the fire?
Some calls are good calls. Like the Michigan call with the tip pass, they had an offensive lineman that was like 7 yards downfield blocking somebody. It's a good call. Called back a touchdown, but it's the correct call. I don't mind judgment calls because those are fast. They're quick. They happen. They go either way. The one in the Florida game where the receiver came inside and started blocking, those are the kind you wonder, what can you possibly be looking at? This guy has his head down and he's flat out blocking. A guy runs a route, turns up. So you've had time to look at that one. Those are the ones that I can understand coaches being upset about. The one before that, the holding, it was a hold. And so it should have been called.
I get it that Harbaugh is upset that they lost, but the refs aren't the reason they lost. If you don't come out and get in the hole 21-0, that would have been a good idea. So I don't think Harbaugh has a gripe. There's a bad calls in every game. Yes. If I'm Muschamp, I'm pissed. I am absolutely livid. This wasn't the only call, bro. First of all, that is atrocious. I mean, that is a block.
Yeah,
there
bad.
Is no intent to be a receiver whatsoever. A false start not called. A hold not called. You're talking about that's 7 points. The hold that wasn't called was another 7 points. That's 14 points on the board. These were enormous plays in that game. Florida won the game. I'm not going to say South Carolina deserved the win. But if I'm Will Muschamp, I am irate. I'm taking off the old man glasses and slamming them on somebody. I mean, that's just, it's unquestionably decided. It went a long way in deciding the game, and I would be irate. I'd be mad. God.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to be hosting the SEC officiating Twitter account this week. Probably not best to look at the mentions, not FCC compliant, to say the least. All right, we got now, how about some good news? You want to do some good news? We got a lot coming up, right?
Sure.
How about our ultimate performance presented by BMW? Kenneth Gainwell. They might have flagged him 100 times because he should have been celebrating, right? 18 rushes for 104 yards, 203 receiving yards, couple receiving touchdowns against Tulane. He did it all. In fact, the first NCAA player since Louisiana Tech's Troy Edwards in 1997 to do that. 200 yards receiving and 100 yards rushing. All right, coming up, it's our weekly winners and losers. It includes a bus ride home, Moon in Starkville, and Oregon Trail type accident. All right, Saturday, a rivalry dating back to 1887. Number 8 Notre Dame taking on Jim Harbaugh. Talking about the fair. We'll see if they're fair. Number 19 in the Big House. 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, right here on ABC and the ESPN app. Welcome back, College Football Live. We got a doubleheader for you over on the ACC Network. Week 9 games, Virginia, Louisville, Boston College, and Clemson. All right, let's go a little winners and losers, gentlemen. And winners might be Dabo Swinney for a bus ride. How about this, Joey Galloway? You had Andrew Booth, true freshman quarterback. He gets Well, basically, a penalty for making a punch, and then Dabo makes him not fly home, ride the bus home with the team manager.
I love this idea. This is the craziest thing. Of all the places to punch somebody, in the face mask just isn't very smart. I love the idea. Make him ride the bus home so he can think about it.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome. That's winning. That's a winning culture. I love it, dude. You do something that stupid and egregious, you deserve to do that. That's just dumb. You know better than that at every level of football, even Little League, for goodness sakes.
But, David, is it as dumb as this play call right here? Arkansas, all right, down 17-0. Sam Loy decides it looks like the Dr. Pepper chest pass, right? I don't know about this call, Pollock.
I mean, listen, the call, first of all, stunk, and Auburn was sitting right there regardless, but the execution was not solid either. So I don't know what positive to say about this, Joey. You find something positive.
You know what? This is one of those things, honestly, I will bet you in practice all week, that looked really good. And it worked out perfectly because the defense stays out the way. They do what you tell them to do. And a chest pass was right on the money. You get in the game and things just don't work out the same as they do in practice.
All right. That made us smile for some reasons. Arkansas fake punt. But this made everyone smile. It was trending on Twitter right here. Casey O'Brien, Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Year. Joey, four-time cancer survivor. PJ Fleck puts him in, holding extra points. What a moment here.
Yeah, this is a great story, and it was fun to watch, and we'll be watching this for the rest of all time. This is one of those things you'll keep bringing back, and it deserves to be brought back. It's terrific to see this kid get his chance, and you could see when he was talking after how much he appreciated it, which made it even more special.
And Gene Wojciechowski did the piece on game day on Casey, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And if you want to watch it, go find it, because you talk about a guy that battles every day, makes no excuses. So awesome. So happy to see him getting the ball game. So happy for you, Casey.
Absolutely. Agreed there. And, we can't really show what happened to Joe Burrow here on the side. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
How appropriate is that
face? Are you kidding me?
That is perfect.
After the season that Burrow has had, and I've been riding him all season long, you're going to do that to me, College Football Live?
Wow.
Looks
just like Peter
That's
Burns.
That's the best your face has looked.
By the way, I've never seen this in college football ever. Full moon. Unbelievable.